We're going to continue on along this train of thought. Last week, you remember we talked about the concept of when you fast. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and you know that tied in with our 21-day fast, of course. That's what we're about. We're wanting to get closer to God. So with that assumption, Jesus was saying that we all fast some way, shape, or form. Now, I know that's something that in our culture, it's done for different reasons, sometimes for health reasons, sometimes to lose weight, whatever the case may be. But we know that spiritual benefits do happen from fasting. So that's kind of what we looked at last week, and that's loaded up on the website. If you'd like to check that out, or on the Facebook page, you can find a link. So with that, we're going to go today on when you pray. That's another assumption that Jesus had for all his followers, is that we all pray. Now, prayer is one of those simple things that we take for granted, I think, because, you know, for me, there's a lot of misunderstandings about prayer, what it is, on how we get nervous about prayer, and just what happens. And I don't know about you, but I find myself in my life, I'll be trying to fix something like I was today here, you know. And finally, I'll sometimes say, let's just pray. You know, I've tried everything else. You know, come on. I've tried everything. It's not working. So let's just pray. Well, there I've devalued prayer, because I'm using prayer as a last resort when really it should have been my first response sometimes to situations. And I know that we sometimes do that. And, you know, the reason I think is because we misunderstand the power of prayer, and the fact that God really, really answers our prayer. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which is easier? Would you rather talk to a trusted friend or talk to a stranger? I think the answer is pretty simple, isn't it? We're probably more comfortable talking to somebody we know. And really, that's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to somebody that you know, but we sometimes put it in a different box. We put it in a different place. And that hinders us in our approach to what God wants to do. Scripture I want to look at today, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And it says, but you, and this is found in Matthew 6, verse 6 to 13. There we go. And it says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Here's the key, and we all know this prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and some people say trespasses there, but forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to come into this place to be able to worship you freely, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being here to be able to touch each and every one of us where we're at today. We may be in different places in our journey with you, but we know that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide each and every one of us today and touch us where we're at. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, just to fall back a little bit, just on some basics about prayer, is the fact that, number one, prayer is something that we do corporately and privately. So it's two different applications to prayer. And we all pray at home, hopefully, or pray over a meal or different things. And then when we come together, sometimes we pray together. You know, the Bible says one shall put 1,000, two shall put 10,000. So there's a power of agreement with corporate prayer. So we need to kind of factor that in our mind. Now, Jesus, I'm going to go into a few points here that Jesus was kind of explaining to his followers there what not to do, because sometimes that helps us to find out what really to do, right? Sometimes, you know, that kicks us along down the road a little bit farther. Number one, don't pray for show. Now, you said you can pray corporately in front of with people, yes. So to understand that, all comes back to motive. When we come together to pray, we're not doing it for show, and we're not trying to draw attention to self. We're really trying to tap into the power that God has for us at our disposal. So it's all about motive, and we don't know each other's heart, do we? I don't know your heart, you don't know my heart. But God knows our hearts. And see, that's the key. So we don't, and if you see somebody, now this, just a little side thought, if you're in a corporate group and you're praying, you think somebody's praying for show, don't let it bother you. Because now you've got a problem in your heart. You're judging somebody. Let God do it. If you want to pray anything, just under your breath, say, God, just help this person. If that's not of you, just help to lead them into the right way. And don't say, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for brother so-and-so that they don't pray like that no more. You know what I mean? Don't do directive prayer or manipulative prayer. You know, that's not good. Have you ever seen manipulative prayer? You know, husbands, we try it on our wives sometimes, don't we, sometimes? Oh, Lord, help my wife to, no. And I know wives do it to us. Next, we can pray anywhere. Anywhere you go, you can pray. You know, when people say they've kicked prayer out of schools, that's only because kids ain't praying. You know what I mean? We haven't trained them right. So I know, you can't pray before service sometimes and stuff like that, but at school. But, you know, if our kids are praying, prayer is still in school. So that's why we do what we do, to try to train kids up to understand the things. Now, I believe we need to carve out some sanctified time for prayer when we're praying. Now, I know a lot of times time is an issue for all of us, right? Just to be honest. If we want, now, the reason why we're going to get to this is going to take us into a level of intimacy that maybe we've never had or experienced with God before. Because that's really the goal of everything. It's about that. Now, you can pray while you're driving, and some of you should pray while you're driving. Amen? Or pray while other people's driving. Praise God. Or pray while your kids are driving. You know, they send them off to school. That is the amazingest thing I think about in our culture. We give keys to a car to a 16-year-old, and it's what? A several thousand-pound projectile. If you really think about it, driving's an act of faith. You know, there's a lot could go on in a driving deal, but that's another sermon in itself. But so it's good to pray while you're driving, if you're going to work, because, yeah, you're busy. But I still think you need to find a place. I think you need to find a place, and you need to find a time where you can enhance that relationship with God. Because if you were talking to your spouse or a good friend, and you were distracted with other things that you're doing, you know, multitasking, that's a big thing in our culture, right? If you're multitasking, and your friend thinks, it looks to them when they're watching you, you're ignoring them because your mind's not on them, you're on other, and you should have your mind on driving while you're driving. That's a given, amen? Don't close your eyes. We all know that. You know, but I mean, so it's okay to do it then, but I still think you need to cut out some time to have some time with God. And when we pray in secret, you know, God's going to reward us, and because of that private time with our Father. And that's going to develop a little deeper level of intimacy. And we've taught on intimacy earlier in the year when we talked about, I think, connections. And we're trying to, we're on that flow now. Because we want to really connect with God. I mean, we've named 2016 the year of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the part of God that's on the earth today. And He's with us everywhere we go as a believer. And if we could get to the place where we understand and be able to hear from Him, then we're going to be a little farther in life, and it's going to help us to make them decisions that we need to do. Now, it's okay to ask for things with God. We should. And it's okay to pray for our personal needs and then our friends and family and things like that. Talk to God about them. You know, that's all part of it. But what I want us to get to first, and the reason why I think that a lot of our prayers are maybe not as effectual, because they need to be effectual, they need to work, is the fact that we forgot that prayer is, number one, relational. And that's what I want to look at today. The idea of relationship with God and what that means. And how we can tap in, because if we could get this part, because it's gonna help us to be able to kind of flow a little better. I don't know about you, but how many love awkward situations? none of us do, do we? You know, you get in that situation where just something comes up and it's just, ooh, awkward. Well, sometimes that's how people feel when they try to pray to God. They feel awkward. They think they have to speak in the King James Version, you know what I mean? Thous and this's and thus's. All these things. And, you know, I don't know about you, but God doesn't speak that language. He speaks all languages. It's not just one language. So we need to understand what it means to really communicate with a loving Father, not a stranger. As I mentioned, we'd all prefer to talk to a friend versus a stranger. Because a stranger, you know, some of you are better communicators than others. Some of you can walk in a room with new people and just jump in like it's your best friend. But not everybody's like that. Some of us, you know, would prefer to get to know people and to be able to communicate and to be able to share perhaps some of our innermost thoughts and secrets. And see, that's what we need to get to with God. Now, we know that God knows everything anyway. But somehow God wants us to be able to communicate with Him, and we need to learn that. Now, in saying that, you know, communicating with a Heavenly Father, that sometimes can be hard for some, because a lot of times our relationship with God is affected by our relationship with our earthly father. And that can have a little bit of a negative effect on our comfortableness to be able to go into the throne of God and what we understand about God. And, you know, I believe that, hey, no matter how mean your dad was, you need to get over it and forgive him and move on, amen. You know, pray for healing, because you need to get to the place where you get beyond that, because and let that stop affecting your relationship with God. And that's possible because Jesus is the healer, amen? And He'll bring us to the place where we can start to let go of some of those thoughts, because I think we all have been affected just by misunderstanding, you know, of what God's character is really like. Another thing that we sometimes make a mistake doing is usually we cut to the chase when we get right to what we need from God or what we want God to do. God, you need to do this. God, you need to do that. You know, we kind of forget the relationship part of it. And what kind of relationship would it be if you had a friend and all they come up to you and says, you need to do this, you need to do that. You need to do this, you need to do that. Amen. What kind of a friend would that be? I mean, you'd see them coming down the road, you'd go on the other side, wouldn't you? I don't want to talk to them no more. Now, fortunately, God's a little more forgiving than we are. He understands that we're stupid sometimes and we do dumb things. And what I understand is the fact that what I think about the relational side of prayer is that we need to, now this is hard for those of you who are on the Daniel fast, you've given up coffee, but you need to stop and smell the coffee. And that's what prayer does. Prayer pulls us out of that fast pace for a little bit and helps us just to relax and to get into the presence of God and to get that restoring, that strength that comes that only from the Spirit. Remember, this is a spiritual thing we're talking about here. So it's different sometimes than what all the world has to offer us. And all the things, you know, that we think that how things work. And that's why we need to understand a little bit about what God's Word's telling us about it. Now, most of us have children. And usually kids, when the first time you see them, how would you feel as a parent? Maybe you already feel this from time to time. That the first time you see the kids, been gone all day, and they walk up to you and say, give me some money. Oh, please. You know, later on they say, please. You know, and that's kind of what we do sometimes with God. You know, not how you doing today. You know, how was your day? You know, thanks for feeding me. You know, giving me clothes. You know, buying me things. You know, where you kind of brag on, You know, one of my kids is very good at this buttering up thing. They know how to roll, you know. They've learned that really well. And you can, but I know enough when they're doing it. Now, so we want to get to the past as a parent where we don't feel like an ATM, and I think we need to stop looking at God as an ATM. Now, God does provide, But we need to stop just doing that aspect of what it is. God, give me this and God, give me that. And because I, as a parent, you know, really want a relationship with my kids. You know, I know the roles change as you get older, but I want that kind of relationship. And I really believe that God wants that kind of relationship. So we're going to go about, you know, how to start this relationship with God. How do you start? Well, number one, we look at the idea that, you know, talking to God can be a little bit intimidating, especially for the first time. Now, we've all prayed those prayers, God help, you know. Or, you know, we just talked about this the other night with the youth group. Have you ever made a deal with God? God, if you do this, I'll do this. If you make this girl like me, I will go to church 5 times in a row. You know, we're in the deal making with God. But that's not really how it really works. Deal making doesn't work. And, you know, I know when I first started thinking about it, you know, what do I say to God? You know, I don't want to say something stupid. You know, I don't want to do it wrong, because we sometimes have this religious thinking about what it's about, but it's and that's wrong. Now, I'm going to tell on Dan here a moment. Dan's in our Bible school. And after Bible school, we pray. And several of us were praying different times, and I'd never asked Dan to pray. And I don't know if it's true. Was that one of your first times you prayed in public? Yeah. It was one of the most beautiful prayers I ever heard. It didn't say thee or thou. He just prayed from his heart. He just prayed what he felt. And see, that's really what prayer is praying what we feel, because God knows. But he still wants us to say it. He already knows, it says in that scripture. He knows what we need, but he still wants us to ask. He's looking for that internal, that communication that we can have with each other. So as we do that, we understand and just keep that in mind, that we want that deeper connection. And about the prayer closet, and it's good to find a place. And I've used this story before. I read it. I can't remember where I came across it. But, you know, you're going to find a place where you like to get quiet with God. And I know this is a little bit like driving a car, but it's a little different. And I've shared this, I think, you know, in the Alpha class I know recently. But, you know, this one girl, she grew up as a Christian, and she loved God, and she had a grandma or something like that that had a farm, and she had some horses. Well, this little girl would take a horse, and then she would take this horse on a ride, and she just enjoyed it. Well, then as she got to be a teenager, a little bit older, she turned really wild. I mean, really wild. Just totally went away from God. The kind of person that a lot of Christians judge, that kind of wild, you know what I mean? Well, there's this lady that met her and started to pray for her, because God dropped her on her heart. She says, I want you to call so-and-so, we'll call her Jennifer, and I want you to ask her to come out to your farm to ride a horse. So he said, say what? That don't make any sense. But she did it. Asked Jennifer out. Jennifer said, sure. And she come out, and several days she started to ride the horse. And then all of a sudden she started to see a change in Jennifer. And Jennifer come up and told her, when I was a little girl, when I would ride the horse, I would talk to God. But when my grandma died, I didn't ride with horses anymore. And when I went away from God, I didn't know how to get back. And that happens. But what I see from that is that we all will find a place that we like to connect with God. I have mine. Mine's a recliner with a blanket over my head. I mean, I pray with a blanket over my head. That's my favorite way. I just get away from the world. And I just get in there by myself with God. Even in the summer when it's hot. You know, I love to get hot with God, amen. I love the heat of God. God's fire coming down on me. But anyway, that's just my way. I found my way. You need to find your way. And in finding your way, you're going to find Yahweh. Oh, that felt good, didn't it? Amen. Some of you got it. Yahweh is the name of God. Same as Jehovah, Yahweh. All right, now, Jesus said, don't use meaningless repetitions. Beware of canned prayers. When I was a little kid, I prayed, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. I prayed that every night. You know, but as we get a little more in tune with God, and it's not wrong to pray that prayer, but as we get a little closer to God, I think we can spice it up a little bit, can't we? You know, kind of be a little more conversational in our prayers. So that's what we need to get it to be, the fact that it's a conversation between us and God. And it's okay if you're mad. If God knows you're mad anyway, talk to him about what you're mad about. Here's what I think. If you tell God, you know, what you're mad about, you get it off your chest and you take it to the throne of grace and get rid of it. Just leave it there. You know, David, if you read the Psalms, you know, a lot of his, some of it was complaining. Just talking to God and complaining. But he knew where to go to. You know, don't go to somebody else who's got the that wants to complain also, because what you're going to do is make that problem bigger. But when you complain to God, your problems get smaller, because God knows how to deal with it. Another thing, this is a little house cleaning I'm doing here about some ways to do this, is John 14, 13 and 14 tells us to ask in Jesus' name. You know, to me, that's what I do. I believe the scripture reveals that to me, and that's why. You know, in the name of Jesus is not a magic formula, you know, so we don't want to look at it like that. But what it is, it's a fact that it's proper protocol. And what I mean by that is the fact that we have the power of attorney and the right to use his name because Jesus gave it to us. And if we look at it from that way, the only way that we can go to God, the Father, is through Jesus Christ, because none of us are good enough. So he's the mediator. He's the go-between. So to me, it's only natural that we should do that. Now, if you're driving off a cliff and you say, oh God, I think God's going to hear that prayer. You know what I mean? But I think if you have time, I think there's a way that we should do it. And you can do it however you want, but I'm just telling you what I think is probably the better way. Because when we're doing that, we're also honoring, you know, Jesus' authority in our life. Because I know with him I'm everything, but without him I'm nothing. And so I keep that proper perspective of who I am and who he is. Now, the Lord's Prayer we're going to look at here, it can be a guide. There's a lot of prayer models out there, and you can find some different ways. Most of them are similar in their starting spot, but you know how they get there sometimes can be a little different, and I may share a little of those next week. We're just going to look at a couple points of the Lord's Prayer today. Now, what I want us to understand about the Lord's Prayer, it's a model, and each point can give us a place to reflect upon God. And as we can do that, because sometimes it's awkward, you go to pray to God, and all of a sudden you say, God bless so-and-so, God bless this, God bless that, and God, give me a bunch of money, amen. 60 seconds, you're done. That's not much of a relationship, is it? You know, if you only talk to somebody 60 seconds every day, you know, you wouldn't really have a big connection with that person. So we want to try to learn how to elaborate, shall we say. Want to learn how to, you know, be able to communicate. And before I forget to say this, I wasn't intended to, give God time to talk to you. You know, after you're praying, it's okay to be silent a little bit. And just let God, you know, minister to you. He may speak to you then, he may speak to you later. But God is going to speak to you. It won't be in an audible voice, probably, an audible voice, but he'll give you a witness in your spirit. You'll get an unction or an inkling, how you want to look at it. But God will talk to you because you're his child. Now, as I mentioned, these points give us a place to reflect. It's not a magic formula, because I don't like to. Because what happens is if we get a formula, we build a religion around it. And that's what a lot of people do. And that's how a lot of different denominations get started. They find something that works, so then it's, okay, let's all do that. And they do that forever. Well, that worked for a minute, may not work forever. But that's the problem with what people do sometimes. Throw your clock away when you pray, unless you got to go to work or something. You know, if you need to, set an alarm. If you think you might overpray, I doubt that happens, but we'll see. it's a goal, you know. And I don't know if overpraying is ever something that we do, but you can. Maybe if you doze off, I don't know. And it's good to pray the Word of God. You know, find some scriptures if you got a problem. You know, pray the Word. Thank God for his Word. Okay, now. This model that I'm going to share a little bit here today and next week, you know, is the Lord's Prayer, different stopping spots. Now, this is something you would primarily probably use in your quiet time. Now, quiet time, maybe not everybody's up to speed on what different words are. Quiet time is this what we use as terminology, that we're going to go have some time with God alone from everybody else and get away from them. I've seen people actually go into a closet to pray. They like it there. You couldn't fit in my closet. You know, there's so much stuff in there, you know. So that's why, you know, I found my spot. That's kind of handy. So now if you're playing the prayer agreement with somebody, somebody's, hey, could you pray with me? You know, I need prayer. I asked Scott, you know, I got this problem. Would you pray with me? Well, you probably wouldn't go through all the stopping spots of the Lord's Prayer till you finally got to the part where you pray for him, you know. No, you would just do it. You just pray. Pray the prayer agreement. And that's different than what we're talking about now. So this is going to help you in your own personal. Now, Jesus told his disciples, now, you can read this however you want to read it, but it's pretty simple. It says, pray this way. Let me see. I got my Greek things out, you know, and I didn't get my Hebrew because this is in Greek, you know, but I got my Greek stuff. Pray this way. That's what it says. Pray this way. So that must tell us this must be a key to some way that we can pray. Okay. He starts it off, our Father. Our Father. Now, a lot of people have taught on this before. I remember I got saved, and my wife and I, we did this. Dr. Larry Lee, he was a preacher in Texas, and this was a thing that he brought out, and different ones. I think Dr. Cho and different ones have taught on this. This is a very common, you know, message in the sense of that application of how you pray. His was, could you not pray 1 hour? And that's all good, you know, to pray for an hour. But, you know, if you got a stopwatch, you've turned a religion out of it. You know what I mean? It's not relationship. How would it be if you come home and you went to talk to your wife or your husband or whoever and you hit the stopwatch? Click. Okay, hit me. Go. You know? And then all of a sudden you're there and, oh, you know, and you got to wait and you're thinking of stuff to say and, you know, and then all of a sudden, ding. Whew, I'm glad that's over. No, that's not what we want to do with God. God's different. God wants us to, you know, be conversational. So when he says, our Father, we can stop right there for a moment. And you can think about, you know, your relationship with God. And how the idea that when he says Father, he didn't say, you know, our God, did he? No, he said our Father. So then it should take us back to the idea we can actually pray a little bit. And thank him for the relationship aspect that we have. Because Adam fell and we were separated from God. I don't know about you, but being an orphan or abandoned your whole life would be rough. And there's people that live like that. And we're like that, separated from God. But once we got back into the family, we're in the family of God. We're in that relationship with him. And we have the right. Jesus gave us that right to call him our Father. And we say that, and we get to the idea of the kind of conversation between a loving father and a grateful child. And how that conversation comes to being when we come to talk to him and we start to do this. And you may do this for several minutes because what it does, it promotes intimacy and connection between you and God. And to me, this is the first step that we ought to do. Now, granted, in a hurry-up situation where you're in trouble, you need something, yeah, just pray. That's just the way it is. You know, if you see somebody laying on the floor, don't, this ain't your model prayer for that. You want to hop right into the prayer of faith. But I'm talking about your quiet time here. So the first step when we come to God, we need to come in and do it with the relationship aspect of what God wants to do. And how we kind of minister with him. And what this is going to do is going to create an atmosphere. Because atmosphere is important when you pray. Atmosphere is important in anything that you do. And some atmospheres are more conducive than others. Now, we have benefits today. You could actually plug in. Most of you have phones that can play music. You could actually start off with a worship song. You know, maybe find a few if that's your flow. Maybe you like that. You know, if you're into worship, that's your wheelhouse, then I'd say, yeah, you know, start off with a song and get that atmosphere going. And then you can launch from there. All right. Then Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, this is talking about, you can stop here for a minute and talk about the idea of God's perspective on things. You know, God's, you know, we allude that heaven's up there and we're down here. However that works, I don't know. But primarily, we know that God has a better vantage point than us. His perspective is better than us. So you can thank him that he is above all things and that he knows everything and he can, you know, guide us and lead us to where we need to be. And all of it talks about hallowed be his name. You know, we can remember God's holiness. Holiness is something, you know, that we have to remember about God is the fact, and that's why we need to go through Jesus. You know, a holy God and somebody who is in our nature cannot go to God directly. That's why Jesus had to come. So we kind of remember that point. And this ought to push you down the road a little bit farther where you can spend a little more intimacy with God and create that atmosphere for when you get to the stuff you want. You know, it's only proper to try to do it this way. Now, next, he talks about thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. When you hit this part of the prayer, you can pray for evangelism. Before you pray for yourself, I think you should pray for the lost. I think that's only fair. No matter how much we need, we don't need to be saved. Right? No matter how much you need right now in your life for God to do, you're still going to heaven if you're a Christian. And so the next stop is to pray for those who are less fortunate than you, who have not seen the light yet. So you pray for them and pray for your friends and family that are not saved or walking in the way that they should be. And, you know, pray for world evangelism, you know, and God's going to plant churches, you know, local churches in places so they have a place to come and worship. So all this is part of the next stopping spot, praying for the lost. And maybe you could pick a country to pray for every day. Next, it starts to get more personal for you because you're praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is, I really flow into this. You know, I pray this part really every day. You know, I pray that God's will is done in my life. And that's that what that does, that sends a message to God that, Lord, I am submitting to you. See, I'm not saying, God, I'm going to do this and I want you to bless it. How about it? Huh? That's what we do sometimes. I got this plan. God, bless what I'm doing and, you know, we'll talk to you tomorrow. No. You're saying, God, I want your will to be. So what that means is I'm expecting God to reveal to me his will. See, my job is to submit my will. His job is to reveal his will. If I don't do his job, because that's not my job, and he's not going to make me submit my will, because that's my job. So when I do that, then that puts me into the place where I can start to receive and start to walk. And then I pray for that for my wife and my children, that God's will is done in their life and for friends of mine. And, you know, also should pray for the leaders of our country, you know, that God's will is done in their lives because they're the ones making decisions for our lives, right? Now, I'm not saying God's not going to make him, but it's going to open a door, a channel for God to start to move in people's life. And that's really what prayer is all about. Well, after you get to that, then you can say, thy will be done. Oh, I got that, did I? Yeah. Then, okay, the next thing is, you know, after you pray for the leaders of the country, you can pray for, you know, just things in general that God drops in your heart to spend time with him. To want to see that. Now, I imagine, I don't like put a clock on it because I don't want to build a religion about it, but you could be able to spend at least 5 to 10 minutes in prayer. Maybe 15 to 20, easy, just with these 15 minutes probably with these first four steps or what I have here. And like I say, it's just something, you know, that will help you because old-time prayer warriors, I read a lot of stuff on prayer. I've mentioned this before. If any book in the world I go back to other than the Bible, I go to books about prayer. I just admire some of these old-time prayer warriors. Them guys were animals. They would just, oh my gosh, all-night prayer meetings and things like this. But, you know, technically, as far as our walk with God, I don't want to offend nobody, but sometimes we're only as good as our prayer life sometimes. Because if you ever notice when you don't pray or you get out of sync with God, how you get fleshly? I do. I mean, I can get real fleshly. And I want to get beyond that. And I know that it takes time to, and you don't, you know, just you say 15 minutes. I don't like throwing that number out because some of you are probably saying, my gosh, 15 minutes? Hey, I didn't say an hour, right? Could you not tarry with 1 hour? You know, so just like I say, don't watch the clock, but let's just see if you try these. And that's my assignment for you guys this week, is the first four steps of this, try this. and see if that enhances your prayer life. And if that's your goal, I hope it is. And like I say, then there's other models you can use. I wouldn't use this for the rest of my life in the sense where, you know, there's other things you can do to pray. But I just wanted to throw this one out there because step one, for those of you who did not take notes, is the relationship that you have with God. Step two is thank Him for His perspective that He has for our life and for the holiness that He is. He's a holy God. Step three, evangelism, praying for the lost. And step four is God's will for our lives. So we're going to try those first four this week, and then next week we'll kind of talk about the other few steps that there is. And what this is going to do, it's going to enhance our prayer life. And the reason why is that, you know, the fire of God comes into our life and it burns out the chaff. And that all comes by us having a desire to seek a holy God. And this is stuff that, you know, it's not jumping from the rooftops and shouting, praise God about. But I'll tell you what, there's times in my life when, and I once you experience it, I don't know, there's certain foods. My mom, when I was a kid, she used to make pepper steak. And I'm looking at Lisa, she owes me one yet. But anyway, she says she don't. But, you know, every now and then, several weeks after you eat it, you just crave it. You just want it. And prayer's like that. Because as you start to pray, you're going to experience something that's deep and meaningful. And then I know there's times I come home, if maybe I haven't felt like I've had that good a connection with God, because, you know, life happens. I'm just as guilty as anybody. But all I can do, I just feel something inside of me. God wants me. God wants me to spend some time with Him. So I get my blanket, man. Crawl under my blanket. I get alone with God. And it just fixes me up. It just puts me back to where I need to be. And that's where we need to be. And I encourage you to do that. Let's pray.